Thank you so much for joining us for this week's message from Real Life Community, where we talk about connecting with God and others, growing in Christ-likeness, and sharing God's life with the world. My name is Sarah Comer, and I serve each week as Connections Pastor, making sure that you know that there is a God and a community that loves you and wants to go through the seasons of life with you. The easiest way to connect with us from right where you are is by downloading our free Real Life Community app from your App Store. You can also find us at reallifecommunity.org, and we would love to meet you on Facebook or Instagram. Until then, we hope this message meets you right where you are and helps you know just how deep the Father's love is for you.
I want to start this morning with a message here out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you have your church app and you want to follow along with the notes in the notes section, the message title is called Life to All. All right. Let me start. We're going to be bouncing around in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 today. I want to start actually with verse 51 and read through verse 57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pray with me this morning. Gracious God, we are gathered here in your presence this morning. Grateful and thankful for this beautiful day that you've given us, where your mercies are new as they are every morning. But God, especially on the morning that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the firstborn from among the dead, of all creation, the first fruits, who goes before every one of us from the perishable into the imperishable. Father, as we explore this mystery, we pray that you would help us to know, not just in our minds, but personally and in our hearts and soul, that Jesus does give the victory. May his life extend not only to us, but to all of creation. In his name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. So the events, if you've been tracking here in our story of Jesus, really since before Christmas that we've been journeying in, we got to this place last Sunday where Palm Sunday happened. And then the events of this past week were like watching a car accident happen or something. I mean, it was one of those things. I don't know if you've ever witnessed an accident, like an automobile accident, but my family and I just did a few weeks ago. A motorcyclist had gotten hit, and we were the very next car. And so I jumped out of the car and we pulled off, and all the kids are covering their eyes and everything. And I jumped out, and there were three or four of us there, and we're directing traffic around and praying for this guy that had landed on the pavement. And after a while, the EMTs had come and they'd taken him off to the hospital, and you got a moment to catch your breath. And all of us stood there and looked around at each other, and we kind of did like a what just happened kind of moment. I don't know if you've ever experienced kind of like a traumatic thing, but on the other side of dealing with the shock of the moment, it takes a minute to collect yourself and to recognize. And so we all sat there and swapped stories. Wait, did you see that? Yeah, the car turned there and this happened there. And we got kind of all our, oh yeah, yeah, that's what happened. I wonder if we ought to sort of do something like that with the Easter story. Because see, Palm Sunday happens, and everything seems like it's going so well. Jesus rides in on the donkey. Everybody's shouting, Hosanna. It's like the king has come to town. And then immediately he marches into the temple and starts turning tables over and driving people out with whips and pushing every buttons. And if you were watching his life over that course of that week, you'd think, man, this guy's got a death wish. And actually, it's not that Jesus wanted to die, but it was like he was driven by this broken-hearted kind of love that just needed to do something important. And so he's pushing all these buttons, and people are watching this story go along, and he's inviting the wrath of these powerful people. And sure enough, we just worshiped together on Good Friday and reflected on the story of Jesus going to the cross and carrying his cross up that hill, and he was nailed to that cross, and he was crucified, dead. And then they took him down from the cross and put him in this hastily prepared tomb that was really for somebody else, but they put him in there, and they didn't even finish all the burial preparations, but they rolled this stone over the tomb, and then they placed guards at the entrance to the tomb. There was no doubt about it. Christ has died. So Friday night and Saturday were these times of darkness. But then on the third day, what we've been celebrating this morning, the women went to finish a proper burial, but they found that the stone had been rolled away and the tomb was empty. And the only thing that was there was an angel or two quizzing them about why they were there and making this pronouncement that he is risen. Go ahead. There you go. We can practice this together all the way through. Anytime I say it, you just cut me off. And then, sure enough, not only is this announcement made, but he starts appearing to people. And it's not just a ghost that starts appearing to people. I mean, he can walk through walls and stuff, but he can also like eat. And you can touch him, and you can like embrace him, put your hand in his side and see the nails. It's the same Jesus, and yet it's this imperishable kind of body. So Christ has for sure died. It wasn't a mirage. It wasn't an illusion. He was dead and buried. Christ has died, but now we find that Christ has risen, right? Very good, very good. What had seemed like the end turned out to be an end, but it wasn't the end. It was just an end that ended up turning into this new beginning. And so that's what happened. If we're all collecting our stories and we're saying, what just happened? Let's get our facts straight here. What just happened? That's what happened. Christ has died. Now Christ has risen. And then he starts showing up to people. And that's the story, the experience that launched a new movement. And you can't keep a lid on a story like that. The powers that be tried, they cooked up these ideas. Well, let's say that somebody stole his body, or let's say something happened here, and they worked on that, but you can't make it disappear when there are as many witnesses as there were. I mean, listen to Paul a few decades later retell the story in his letter to the Corinthians that we've been reading. In verses 3-6, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that," and here's the story. He's not changing at all. He's saying, this is what we've been saying for two decades now, right? Here it is, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, or Peter, then to 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time. And then I love how he says this. He says, most of them are still alive, though some of them have fallen asleep, which is one of the ways Paul talks about going into death, right? I love how he says this here. He tells the story, this is what happened. This is what we've always been saying that happened. But if you wonder, if you have any doubts about whether or not there are people that actually experience this. Many of them are still alive. Go ask them, right? That's why he throws that in there. Jesus appeared not only to Peter, but to and then to the 12, but to 500 guys at the same time. And if you don't believe me, just go ask them. They're still alive, right? So, if that's the story, the question then that comes to us is, what do we do with that? What do we do with this story? I want to talk through a few different options that we have, and we probably have several, but here's a few I think that people will tend to choose. The first option that we have that's available to us this morning is we can hear this story of what happened in the life of Jesus. This unique, singular kind of life that we've been talking about for the past several months that reaches its pinnacle in the cross and the resurrection. And then we could hear of all of these things that happened and we could dismiss it. We could. And that's an option open to us. And it's an option a lot of people in our world today choose. We could choose to say, listen, people don't raise from the dead. I know that, you know that. We've never seen this before. I can't go ask those 500 people now. So I'm just going to say that people don't rise from the dead. So neither did Jesus. And that option is open to you. To say, I'm not going to believe that there are supernatural realms, that there are miracles that happen that are beyond what I can explain. I'm going to just choose to understand that my world exists in the material, in the flesh and blood, and that the spiritual dimension kind of things where miracles can come from and life can burst up out of unexpected places, like those things don't happen. And you can tamp those things down. And you can do that. I'll just tell you my own experience. In 41 years now, goodness gracious, of exploring this story, of listening to the witnesses, of reading the research, of looking at the history, of watching people seek to disprove things and then become believers in the process, like of 41 years of this kind of journey and a personal experience of the living presence of Jesus. I want to say to you, if you choose to just dismiss it, good luck with that. Because here's the thing, I think that if you're really, really searching for truth, the harder you try and shut the door on the resurrection of Jesus, the louder it will knock. It's really difficult to roll the stone back over the empty tomb, okay? So, but you're here this morning. So let's say you've chosen at least not to outright dismiss it, but to at least be open to it. So maybe you're here this morning and you're like, okay, I'm at least open. Let's take dismissing it off the table. Let's at least explore, what do Christians believe about this, right? So here's the story and we recognize that's the story, but like, what's the Christian belief? What's the statement of faith? And maybe you would move into another thing and you'd say, okay, I'm open to this. And so maybe Christians believe that this happened to Jesus. Okay, I'm willing to accept that. But maybe in the second place that we stand, you might believe that this happened as a one-off kind of thing. This happened to Jesus, right? And this was one of those things where like, okay, I believe there's a spiritual realm and like maybe this one-off thing because Jesus was so close to the Father, he was uniquely the Son of God, or things happened to Jesus or through Jesus or with Jesus that didn't happen to anybody else, right? That this was the one-off kind of thing, not that we can expect this to happen in any other place to anybody else or really have many implications other than God was saying to Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for taking the sins to the cross. Now I'm going to bring you to the right hand of the Father, right? And if you got there, I'd say, man, that's great. That's a big step of faith there to say, yes, this happened. I believe this happened. But if you got there, you're not actually all the way to the Christian faith about what happened that day. See, there's another step here. It's not just that it happened to Jesus one time a long time ago. It's that it happened to Jesus one time a long ago, and it did, we believe this, but that resurrection is also meant to extend to every single one of us. Are you with me here? That's where it's at, that it's not just about Jesus, but that Jesus was just the first one to burst through the grave and say, where, oh death, is your sting? Where is your victory? Death has been swallowed up in the grave, and Jesus has burst forth and brought a new kind of life. That is where it's at. And this actually is where Paul's whole argument in 1 Corinthians 15 is about. See, some followers are questioning whether or not, like people, like normal people, right? Like not the Son of God, Jesus person, but everybody else, whether or not people will actually one day bodily rise from the grave. They're saying, Paul, come on, that doesn't happen. Come on, Paul. There's no resurrection. That happened to Jesus, but they're kind of like trying to land in option B here, that it happened once for Jesus, but not for everybody else. But then Paul says, look, if there's no such thing as resurrection, then Jesus hasn't been raised either. But then listen to where he goes with it in chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits, and I might pause a few times as I'm reading through this, so forgive me, but the first fruits, there's your first key word to hang on to. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death. Now, what's he talking about there? He's talking about Adam, right? That Adam was a part of this couple that helped usher sin and brokenness into the world. And as a result of that sin coming into the world, we all kind of have this family resemblance to Adam in that we all die. So through a man came death, but by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. And so, by the way, if you're like familiar with your church history and creeds and confessions and things, we've got it all in here now. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Christ will come again. At his coming, when he returns, he calls forth those who have gone into death. Did you get that then? This passage, Sarah, go back to that 1 Corinthians 22 through 23 verses passage there. It's like we share in this family trait with Adam as a part of being human in a broken world who has made a contribution to that brokenness. And that common trait is death. We have these bodies that are subject to death and decay under the old order of sin and death. But Jesus' resurrection ushers forth a new kind of reality. And when he returns, all of those who put their faith in him will be raised to life and share in that same kind of imperishable body as Jesus. And so, forgive me here, but I can't get this image out of my mind of Oprah Winfrey. So actually the whole, like the engine for the whole message here this morning, so forgive me here, but you're familiar a few years ago when it was the big thing when Oprah would have her giveaway shows. You know what I'm talking about? And I think you could kind of lay 1 Corinthians 15 over the Oprah giveaway show here, you know? And it's like, okay, in option B here, like how, what do we do with this story? Like, it's like, Jesus, you get a resurrection, right? But it doesn't stop there, right? See, if you were sitting in the congregation that day and in the audience, you said, okay, Jesus gets a resurrection. But then it turns out that you point over to somebody else and Clayton gets a resurrection today. And by the way, Clayton's not the only one. Greg gets a resurrection today. And Norman gets a resurrection. And Anthony gets a resurrection. And Eric gets a resurrection. And Heidi gets a resurrection. And Donald gets a resurrection. And guess what? Look under your chairs. Everyone gets a resurrection. Come on. I was hoping you would do that. Come on. Okay, I don't mean to trivialize this. But this is the good news. The good news isn't that it just happened to Jesus. It's that it happened to Jesus so that it can happen to all of us as well. Everybody gets a resurrection. But listen, I'm not even done yet. It's not only that this is God's will for us one day in the future, to share in this new resurrection life, but God allows for us to experience a measure of this new life now. This isn't just a promise for one day in the future. It's like, okay, great, that's one day in the future, I'll move into eternity. That's not the whole of the promise. The beautiful thing is, that's the promise, but then God allows us to have tastes of it now in our current present life. As we occupy these perishable bodies, he puts his spirit into us so that we can experience resurrection life now. Listen to a couple of these passages in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Not who will dwell in you one day when he raises you up, but does now. Or how about this? We're going to experience baptism celebration after second service today. And we're going to be talking about this in Romans 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So when we give our lives over to Christ, the power that raised Jesus to life and will one day do the same for you and me is already at work in you. And I'm still not done. It's like Billy Mays, but wait, there's more. You can wring it out and dry it off again. It's not only that it's for everyone and we get a taste a little bit of it now. It's not only that the resurrection life of God extends to humanity. The resurrection, renewal, restoration of work of God is meant for the whole entirety of his creation. Life wins out over death everywhere in the end. Jesus bursts forth from the grave. And I don't know if you guys caught this a few weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, there was this like reverse image of a black hole or this black hole, right? Image that they had gathered together and you got to see the first one ever. It was like in theory before. And this black hole just sucks all of life into itself. Everything that it gets close to just makes it disappear. Think about the resurrection of Jesus as like the opposite of that. It's like this explosion of life that cannot be contained. And God's will and purpose and desire is for it to spread over all of creation. The resurrection of Jesus is the decisive first move in a victory where life wins out over death everywhere. So now, I'm about done. Each of us then has a choice. We have a choice. In light of this story, in light of these claims about what God desires to do in all of creation to bring the resurrection, renewal, restoration, life of Jesus everywhere, will you choose to be a part of God's renewal and restoration and resurrection life movement that is exploding over all of the universe? See, when we open our lives to God and place our faith and trust in Jesus, we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives to cleanse and renew and bring us to a new quality of imperishable life. Even now, we become enfolded into this renewal and restoration of all things. And then we get to participate in this renewal work. And at the end of the story, Jesus says, "See, I'm making all things new." But when we open our lives to him now, we get to take part in this work. And so, every time, by the leading of the Spirit of God, we choose to forgive someone a wrong. Every time we become reconciled with an enemy. Every time we work for justice for someone who has been wronged or oppressed, or show mercy to another person, or extend compassion to someone in need, or selflessly serve someone else in love, not out of our own selfish desires, but out of our just desire to show love. Every time we welcome a child or a stranger, or we show an act of kindness or generosity or goodness or any one of the other fruits of the Spirit of God working in our lives, every time you choose to live according to the direction and movement of the Spirit of God in the world, you become a vessel for the resurrection life of God to extend a little further into his universe. It just takes us maybe one little step closer to the resurrection of all things. And you become a part of the Easter story every time you become one of those vessels. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for this good news this morning that you have not given up on our world, on your world. That you have plans for renewal and restoration and resurrection. That you have plans to make all things new. And that includes us, but it doesn't only include us. It includes all things. And so God, today, I pray that if there are those of us who are on the fence about what to do with your resurrection, pray that very simply, quietness of their own hearts this morning, they'd be able to make a statement of faith. God, I believe. I choose life. I choose resurrection. Invite your Spirit to be at work in my life. Cleanse me, purify, forgive, and turn me loose on the world as a part of your Easter story, as I participate in the renewal, restoration of all things. May your life, God, be in mine. And God, that's our prayer, every one of us. That your life would be in us. That somehow today you would remind us that Easter wasn't just about something that happened a long time ago, but it's for us today. As we march on into the future of your resurrection power and life that swallows up death. Our victory is in Jesus today. Thanks be to God.